Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sextile to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is dishing. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. And not only here on LA Talk Radio, but wherever you tune in to listen to your iPods, because now we are everywhere. We're on Spotify, we're on iHeart, we're on Apple, wherever you find your podcasting situations. Situate yourself over there and tune into Max and Friends. Hey, listen, I'm going to be here 12 years this May. So with that said, there are over 12 years of shows, and you can go to latalkradio.com/max, and you can find the shows there. In addition, Dina just wrote, in addition, you could tweet me at Max Tucci, Instagram me at Max Tucci, follow me there, get in contact with me there. And if there's someone that you think is motivational, inspirational, cool, super, or who takes life to the max, send them my way. We would love to hear who you think we should have on the show. With that, I keep saying with that said. No more saying with that said. Let's just get into the opening of the show. We got a great guest on tonight. I love voiceover people, because all of a sudden you hear the voice and then your mind goes to where you think you know them from, and then it clicks, and then it's like, oh, I know that voice. Well, not only do you know his voice, but you know his face, because my guest tonight, Farooq Tahid, is joining us in just a little bit. The new series on NBC called Roots Less Traveled premiered April 4th, 2020. And if you all have seen Roots Less Traveled, well, it's produced by Ancestry, and the series follows two family members searching for information and historical facts about family and relatives long since passed. You know I'm addicted to that. Why? Because, you know, my family, Delmonico's Restaurant in New York, America's first fine dining restaurant. There's so much history and so many stories there. And I'm doing the book. You know that. It's my elephant birth, 10 years of doing this cookbook/entertainment book. Exciting news to tell you about that, but not tonight. But so I've been doing that journey like myself and going, finding all of these stuff. And not only do I find a lot of interesting artifacts from the Delmonico archives, but also, like, I found my grandparents' passports, and I found when they came to Ellis Island. And then when I was in Italy, I found out that I had more cousins in Italy that I never knew about. That was last summer. So that was totally amazing and interesting. Hi to everybody in Italy. Ciao tutta la mia famiglia in Italia. Saluti, coraggio during this pandemic. Listen, today I posted, we need to stop using the word crazy times, okay? So work with me here, because I'm just going to pull up my post. And the reason why I want to stop using the word crazy is for a couple of reasons. So when I woke up this morning, I was listening to, I don't remember what show I was watching, some show, and they were like, oh, these crazy times. And I was like, no, we got to stop using this word crazy. We must stop saying in these crazy times and the word crazy, because the word crazy is defined as mentally deranged, especially as manifested in a wild or aggressive way. And I don't believe that all of us are mentally deranged. A few, perhaps, but not all of us. So when we put that word into the environment, crazy, I think that's when it starts becoming crazy. You know, it's like the law of attraction. So let's raise the vibration, the energy, the frequency, and use other adjectives to describe what I'm calling these interesting, confusing, frustrating times. But again, I don't want those to be the focus. So let's just say these times, because a great friend of mine, Christina Kuzmich, you all love her. She's been here on Max and Friends. She always says she likes to put right now at the end of trying times, of in general, you know, like if her kids were mad at her, right now. So this pandemic is right now. And send up the good vibrations, okay? Because let's send this up so this thing vanishes, you know, like SARS. I was watching Dr. Fauci, and SARS just vanished. Really, it did. He was talking about it today. So maybe this could happen. I don't know. Who knows? But what I do know is we're going to have a great show here tonight. We're going to talk about the voiceover industry. We're going to talk about Roots Less Traveled. And if y'all love this show, I love it on Discovery Channel, Battle Bots. I love the Japanese one, too. Well, he's here tonight, Farouk Tahid on Max and Friends. And right now, let's hear the intro to Battle Bots.
It started with a small group of builders and diehard fans. Now, it fills arenas around the world. In its 20th year, BattleBots is the undeniable, irrefutable, undisputed king of robot combat.
It's been 20 years.
Lockjaw gets it done!
I'm coming back for the nut.
Some of the most brilliant minds on Earth. They're robots more powerful than ever before. With weapons that dish out destruction like you've never seen.
And that's what you call a KO!
Now, fight. The largest. Deadliest heavyweight field ever assembled has come to fight. To find the one that stands above the rest to take their place in robot fighting history.
You like that?
This is BattleBots. Fight them.
This is Max and Friends, and welcome my guest, Farouk Tahid, to the show. Welcome, Farouk.
Hey, Max, what's happening, Max and Friends? Does that mean I'm now one of the friends?
You are one of the friends, and if you come on again, then you'll be Max and family.
Oh, all right, I like that. Hey, Max, I got to say something real quick. Number one, congratulations on almost hitting 12 years doing your thing. That's just something to be, you know, amazed at. But I got to say, just from your intro, man, I learned so much about you. We have so much in common.
Like, tell me everything. We have a good time to talk, so tell me everything.
Well, first of all, cooking is one of the passions of mine. I love cooking. I heard you saying you're going to be doing a cookbook and all that good stuff. That's super awesome. I don't know if you know this, but I was on the first season of MasterChef, and that's where, like, my real passion for cooking took off. So that's pretty dope.
I didn't know you were on MasterChef.
Yeah, man. You know, it's crazy, too, because recently on Facebook, some Gordon Ramsay Facebook post recently posted my entire signature dish scene, and it got millions and millions of views, and it was crazy because it was from like 10 years ago.
What is the signature dish?
My signature dish at back then, you know, was macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah. So
and the twist?
Yeah, I did. I called it Farouk's Chic Macaroni and Cheese, because I upgraded a little bit. I used little higher end cheeses and did, you know, a little bit more different things than I would do if I was just making a soul food for the family on Thanksgiving. So I tried to elevate it a little bit.
You know, just by you saying those cheeses, I could smell it now, and I'm like, ooh, add some truffle oil in there too, and we'll have a good time.
You feel me? You see what I'm saying? But yo, not only that, I went to school in New York, and I know about Delmonico's. You said that's your family restaurant?
Yeah. That my grandfather, so it has a rich history, obviously, and it started in 1827, but, you know, it closed in 1923 to Prohibition. A lot of people think because of serving alcohol at the bar, that was one of the main reasons it closed, which wasn't. It was actually because a lot of liqueurs and wines and whatnot were used in the recipes for the dishes. So it was hard to compile the dishes and make the dishes taste the way they did. So it closed from 1923 until 1926. And then my grandfather reopened it in 1926. And it was slated, actually, if you know the building, since you know the building, that building was slated to be knocked down, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So my grandfather purchased the building, resurrected the restaurant, and brought it back to its glamour. And like the most glamorous time was 1950s.
Now, I heard a lot about the restaurant. I haven't had a chance to eat there yet. I was in New York during my college years. So, you know, that college budget didn't allow me to really, you know, partake. But listen, when I go back, man, that's definitely going to happen. And the last two things I want to say is I agree with you 100% about the whole crazy times thing.
Right.
Because one of the things for me that's been bugging me out is people saying, oh, the scary time we're in. We're in such a scary time. I'm like, people, stop saying that. We gotta give it a different narrative so that our mentals can like kind of calibrate to handle everything we need to handle to get through this, you know?
I hear you fully because, you know, I was watching my pal Whoopi Goldberg on The View, and they were talking, and Meghan McCain was like, these crazy times. And then a few other people said these crazy times. And I'm like, we need to stop saying these crazy times because the word crazy, like, literally means deranged. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, you know, whatever follows I am will follow you. So if we start, you know, raising the vibration and start taking out that word crazy, we can focus and pinpoint more. You know, I go around, people are like, Max, really? And I'm telling, when I see people like ride by their bikes or walk by, because I'm in Florida right now, so it's a little different down here. But I'm like, happy pandemic. And they're like, what? And I'm like, let's just raise the vibration up. You know, I'm sorry for all who have passed and died, and I understand it's a trying
absolutely,
time.
Absolutely.
But if we do shift it and we put happy into it, there will be a happy ending.
I agree with you 100%. Well, so, yeah, you know.
With that said.
Right. And just the last thing, tying in with the times, I was actually, you know, hearing about your Italian roots. I was actually in Italy. Me and my wife were in Italy. We returned on March 9th. We actually missed being locked in Italy by like 12 hours.
Oh, so by time, was that by time, a good thing?
Well, I mean, it was a good thing in the fact that we were to get out and get back home, get back to the States. But
you could have stayed much longer.
Yeah, I mean, definitely would have enjoyed staying much longer. Probably not being locked in a hotel room the whole time. But,
right.
We were able to have a good time. By the time we landed, we took off from Rome. And by the time we landed in L.A., it had so many text messages of people asking if we got out because they had locked down the country while we were on our flight. So,
you know, so what parts of Italy did you travel?
So we started out in Venice. That was very interesting because I had been to Venice before. I actually studied over in London, so I did a little trip to Venice when I was over there some years ago. But this time it was so different. It was right now at that time the COVID-19 was kind of located mainly in Milan,
yeah.
And so they hadn't quite reached Venice yet. So the only thing they did when we got off the plane is they give an infrared temperature check, and then that was cool. We went through Venice, but Venice, it was almost like we had Venice private to ourselves. There was hardly nobody there.
Wow.
A lot of the businesses and stuff, as far as restaurants and shops and stuff, were still open. But as far as tourist travel, like, it literally was a ghost town. Venice was a ghost town. We went from Venice, 3 days there. Then we made it, took the train down to Florence, 3 days there, and then finished out 3 days in Rome. And everybody, all the locals and everybody was saying how empty it was. And yeah, so, I mean, we still were able to, you know, I would say probably 90% enjoy our time there.
That's beautiful. Well, you know, they were saying why Italy got hit so hard is because there's in north, there's a lot of the factories where a lot of the Chinese migrant workers come back and forth. And they had just came back from Chinese New Year.
Wow.
And there were about 100,000 Chinese workers that came back to Italy, they were saying. So that's what, and then also it was Fashion Week, which is, you know, a lot of Asian press comes to Italy during that time. So a lot of that was like circulating quickly, and they were, you know, they were trying to figure it out why Italy was hit so hard. But, you know, we have roots in Italy. My family comes from Florence, Italy, and I'm anything that has to do with ancestry, I'm totally obsessed with. So when your publicist hit me up, he's like, oh, you know, I said 100% roots less traveled.
Awesome.
Right. I was like, we got to talk about this, because what was fascinating for me is, you know, with the whole Delmonico's bloodline, I kind of have like a rich history of knowing my family. But, you know, a lot of families have secrets.
Right.
And one of my family's secrets was that I never knew my grandfather had 7 brothers and sisters. I was only told he had 1, and I never met him.
What?
So, yeah. So when I was in Italy, another cousin of mine in Italy, they own a shoe factory right outside of Florence. And we were starting a shoe collection. I was going to do a bespoke men's shoe line. And I put on my Instagram feed, and another cousin of mine in Atlanta was like, oh, you know, you have cousins in that part of Italy. I said, yeah, I know. She goes, no, on the Tucci side. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, Willis, what you talking about, Willis?
Wow.
So it was fascinating. And then as she was saying that, I guess she already reached out to my cousin, and they reached out to me on Instagram, like literally at the same time. They were like, oh, I'm your cousin. And I was like, you're like 35 minutes away from, we have a home in Florence. I'm like, you're 35 minutes away from me. I was like, what are you doing tonight? And talk about routes less traveled. I drove there and discovered I had this huge family that I never knew existed. And they were always 35 minutes away from me.
Wow, that's
even
that's
more
amazing.
Fascinating. Even yeah, more fascinating. Absolutely. My grandmother's family lives across the street from these cousins. And I knew about my grandmother's family. And my grandmother was born in that house that my other family lives across the street from.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's wild. That's really wild. Yeah, this family history thing, the genealogy thing is really a trip. It's really a trip. I had a shocking story that happened to me a few months ago in my family as well, as it relates to relatives and family history. I had a cousin. I had my female cousin on my father's side married a man. And, you know, they've been married for years. And, you know, just I've been out of Philadelphia, where I'm from, for some years now. So going back, you know, I was able to meet him like around the time the Eagles won the Super Bowl a few years ago. And, you know, get to know him, you know, as my cousin-in-law, this, that, and the third. A few months ago, he does a DNA test, finds his real father, his birth father. And then he goes and visits his father's father, so his grandfather. He goes to visit his grandfather in Detroit, posts a picture online of his grandfather with their siblings. His grandfather and my grandmother were brother and sister.
What?
Yes. So what? No, it wasn't. It's not no ancestral thing. So
no, I get that.
Yeah, so my paternal cousin married my maternal cousin.
Wow.
And I just found this out literally like October of 2019.
Well, you know what's interesting about that story is I do a lot of charity work here in Florida for SOS Children's Villages, Florida. But there's SOSs all around the world, and they're foster and also orphanages, depending where you are. And one of the main reasons that they wanted to bring the siblings back together in the community here in Florida was because, like, that was happening. Wow. You know, like, right, they didn't know that their brother, this was their brother or their sister. Right. And, you know, it was a little deeper than cousins and paternal cousins. But, you know, these were brothers and sisters who were meeting each other, not knowing they were brothers and sisters. So it, the whole, like, I find it so fascinating, you know, because we're all from one,
right,
according to me, you know.
Right,
so
right,
to
right.
find out, like, who these ones are that can share family with us is fascinating. And my mother's side of the family is from Lithuania. So that was a whole... But, you know, we knew a lot about that family. So it was fascinating to know all of this. But what's really cool is with NBC series Roots Less Traveled, are there any have there been stories that you have just jaw dropping where you're like, oh, never saw that coming?
Absolutely. I mean, even when you go back to our first episode, you know, you hear about all the myths and legends. That's one of the things our show does, is it, we deal with two family members that are distant for one reason or another, whether it's, you know, geographical, whether they live on different opposite sides of the country, or maybe just over time. And by time, I mean like generation gaps. And we bring these two family members together and we take them on what I like to call a genealogical treasure hunt, right? Mm. Because they, like you said, we all have our stories that get handed down to us. Some are myths, some are legends. I always talk about that game, Whisper Down a Lane, where if you start with like one story and by the time it gets handed down to the other end, it can be... words could be missed, the story could be different. But this show here, we uncover some of those things. And for me, I mean, just in our first episode, we dealt with Michelle and Rob, who were, you know, they were adopted. No, the guy, Rob, was adopted. So he just met his birth sister 3 years ago. But like, they had a first class passenger who on the Titanic. And not only that, but when you think about it, he was of Mexican heritage. So it's like, you know, I mean, just being real, like, you know, you wouldn't have thought that someone that was, you know, of Mexican heritage or even African-American heritage would be a first class passenger on the Titanic. And he was.
You
and
know, so that's really interesting.
Like that is amazing.
Because when you go back to the famous Titanic movie, I don't ever see any black or Spanish people up in the first class. Do you?
You didn't see any of that. You didn't see any of that.
And they need to rewrite the movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they had a real life Titanic story. And then, you know, like our episode, you know, the one thing that really touched me the most, I didn't even realize it would impact me so much. You know, I've learned about, you know, slavery and stuff and, you know, being from my heritage and stuff. I understand where I'm coming from and what our presence is here in this country. But we went to, we had our latest episode. We had Cherie and Devon, who we took to Tennessee, and we found out that their family owned 111 acres as African Americans pre-emancipation, before the Civil War. They owned 111 acres in the South.
What?
And so for me, that was, it was just so emotional, because it wasn't what I was taught growing up.
It debunks a lot of lies.
Right. I wasn't taught that that was even a possible thing.
Wow.
And not only that, but they went to court. They went to court over this land, I think, numerous times, 5, 6, 7 times. And courts, as you can imagine, in the South during that time, was all white men.
Of course.
And every single time they ordered in favor, they judged in favor of the African Americans.
Isn't that wild?
And that, to me, like, even as I'm sitting here talking to you about it, every hair on my body is standing up, because, like I said, that wasn't what we were taught growing up.
Right.
So learning this, that I would say for me, that was honestly the most emotional and shocking story from my time during Roots Less Travel.
That's incredible. Now, I'm sure there's a huge research team that you have with the show. So how long does it take to actually get like one episode put together?
So we have an amazing group of family historians over at Ancestry. And not only that, but also our producer team over at Litton that worked together on this. And let me tell you, it takes hundreds and hundreds of hours. Of human work, of men and women sitting down, putting this together, trying to do all this research. And not only that, but we got to fact check it, right? We got to fact check and make sure it's all legit. So I would say, I mean, it takes hundreds and hundreds of hours. I would say upwards of 500 hours before anybody's like full family history is fledged out.
Yeah, you know, I can understand that, because again, like from the Delmonico's, you know, from this whole aspect of my family, the interesting thing was that my aunt had, and my mother saved a lot of the stuff. I mean, we have literally a storage room filled with archives, and I didn't appreciate them until maybe 10 years ago. I almost threw them all out, to tell you the truth.
Oh no.
Yeah, because you know, you grow up, you're like, yeah, whatever. It's like, oh God, I gotta lug this shit all over with me again.
Yeah, right.
And it costs money. You know, it's like, oh, I need another storage room for all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until like I really opened up boxes that I was like, oh my goodness. Like I have menus that go back to the 1800s that are printed on silk from the royal family, you know, and then finding my grandparents' passports, that was amazing. And then understanding why my grandfather purchased the building, why, you know, and then how many years after it took and that he ran a speakeasy. So discovering all of that with being America's first fine dining restaurant, I was like, wow, this is really astronomical. And then what had happened was I had tried to get this book out years ago. And, you know, publishers were like, it's not relevant. You know, always saying all kinds of stuff. And so the book never got picked up. And then I always fought to have this book published. And so, you know, I always dream big and I create my reality. So all you need is one person to get it. And I got that one person to get it. So it's fascinating to know my story, but then to hear all of these other stories, you know, we all have a story and I always feel they need to be told. So I love Roots Less Travel tells the stories that aren't told, and then also educates along the way too, which is so important, especially like, you know, you just said about all of this land that they owned. It's incredible, incredible. So before Roots Less Traveled, you were known for doing BattleBots. Before we get into BattleBots, how did you get into the whole voiceover world?
Well, voiceovers for me was one of those things, you know, I gotta thank the people at the on the other side of the bar when I was bartending. You know, a lot of time I was bartending, I would always get people, hey, do you do voiceovers? Do you sing? You know, because I'm just sitting there taking their order, welcoming, talking to them, and they hear my voice and they just wonder if I'm on a radio or I do voiceover.
Right. You got a voice for radio, right?
Exactly, right. So, I ventured down doing a little like the podcast radio type thing. Wasn't really my deal. I got out of that. But then eventually I did, you know, I sucked it up and I said, you know what, let me go see what this voiceover is about. I went and took a voiceover class, learned that it was nothing about what I thought it was. I thought voiceover was just putting on voices and, you know, seeing whatever funny voices you can do. And that was it. But I learned so much more at the class where I took. And I've been doing voiceover ever since. I loved it. It's just like voiceover and hosting, two things that I did not move to LA to do. I moved to LA to do on camera acting for TV and film. I left New York. I did dance and I act, but like I said, singing was not for me, so Broadway wasn't going to work. So that's why I went to LA. Just adding notches to my belt, not being afraid to learn something new. That's how I got into voiceovers.
So you've done video games, including the voice of Hotwire and BioShock Infinite series, yeah, and Cartoon Network's We Bear Bears. And then you also worked in the film Selma, Lord, Selma for ABC Disney, and on popular series Brooklyn Nine-Nine, NCIS, Cold Case, The Shield, and New Girl. You've done your thing.
I've been pretty fortunate, you know, with my career. I can't complain really at all. The way it's been going. Like I said earlier on, I did a lot of on-camera TV and film work, and like I said, some stuff still comes by the wayside every now and again. So I'll definitely go on and do it. I'm still open to do TV and film for sure. That's where my love is. That's where I started at. But voiceover and hosting, that's what's been paying the bills lately.
So what do you tell people? You know, now we're in a space where voiceover, you know, you can, if you think you've got it, is it a hard industry to get into?
I would say 100% absolutely. It's not necessarily that it's hard to get into, mm-hmm, but it's hard to be heard, if I may.
Yeah, I understand, you know, that. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, because it's so competitive. You know, I'm not only am I, it's one thing when you go on camera auditions and you're auditioning with people that are in the room, or you competed with whoever was local. Mm-hmm. With voiceovers, I can do voiceovers from anywhere in the world.
Right.
So, you know, not only am I competing with people in LA, but I'm competing with people in New York and Canada, right, and Florida, all over the world. So it honestly took me, I would say before I started booking a lot of voiceover jobs, it probably took me about 3 or 4 years once I had an agent to actually book and start working in voiceover.
Yeah. You know, we had Bob Bergen here, voice of Porky Pig, and his class, people, it's like a 5-year waiting list just to do his class.
I can imagine.
It's yeah. I interviewed some people who were in the stunt industry, you know, stunts, and they were like the same thing. Stunt industry is like so hard to get into, where you have to like know people, be family members of, you know. So, but my whole point is, if it's something that is in you to do, it will happen naturally. So, what was your first break in voiceover world?
Oh man, I think I do remember. My first voiceover gig was a commercial, and I remember I did it with my buddy Nick Roy, I believe. It was a commercial we did, but I would say the big break is when I started doing like Team Hot Wheels movies. That was, mm-hmm, my first animation stuff, and then just moving on. Once I became, I was the voice of Boost Mobile for about a year and a half too.
That voice for those who don't know?
So for the commercial and for the voiceover for Boost Mobile, it was just me being my regular voice. It was just me, and that's
easy
why
enough.
That's why I say anybody who thinks they want to try voiceover, mm-hmm, do it. If you think your voice is weird or interesting or is not good, everybody's voice is perfect for voiceover, because there's so many different avenues you can go down
and so many characters, right?
Yeah, so many characters. You know, every voice. I mean, It's just an infinite amount of voices out there, and everybody can really, you know, do it. I'm not looking for any competition, but but feel free. I do. You know, I always think that there is, you know, it's not you or me. It's you and me. There's room for both of us. So I don't ever look at my job as being threatened. So everybody go out there and try voiceovers.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, just as many people as there are, there's characters. So every character needs a voice, right? But
my character on Team Hot Wheels. That was my first time, you know, kind of creating a voice. And I remember the audition. They wanted somebody who was like Doc from Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
And so my voice, you know, I did my version of that, and that's what booked me the job. And that was something like, Team Hot Wheels, everybody out there, feel free to do what you need to do, because I'm making up words. So that was the character that I did, that I ended up doing 3 Team Hot Wheels movies with.
Now, do you think all of these voices are personalities for you?
You know,
do you see them in your head?
For me, it helps two ways. Either one, for me to actually see a physical drawing of the character, because then in my head, I'd get to translate, okay, this is how that person looks, and this is how I imagine how that person sounds.
So let's talk about the person Hotwire, the character Hotwire.
Right. So he was actually Team Hot Wheels. And the character, for me, it wasn't so much about how he looked, but it was that whole dynamic of, okay, he's like Doc from Back to the Future. So I just knew he had to be kind of sporadic and wild and fun and still appeal to kids. So I just literally just went in there and the first voice came out of my mouth. That's what I went with.
And it worked.
Yeah, it worked. Sometimes,
intuition.
You know, sometimes I'll try 2-3 things out and I'll go with it. And sometimes, it'll, you know, one time it'll just click and it happens.
Do you have a favorite voiceover? Like a favorite personality voice?
I do, but I haven't been able to use it yet.
Oh, you have?
No.
Jeez. And of the ones you have used, who would it be?
Of the ones I have used, I got to say definitely the Team Hot Wheels character, just because that was one that literally like was birthed from me. Like I didn't hear any references or anything like that. I just kind of, you know, literally, I didn't even go back and watch any of the Back to the Future stuff to kind of get a sound. I just did it on my own based off of what I knew. And so for me, being able to create that voice from that of what I had inside of me is probably one of my favorites.
And then how is it being the ring announcer for Discovery's BattleBots?
Perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, just
that's a fun show. That's an intense, fun show.
You know, one of the things I've learned in being in this business for so long is that you're going to get that perfect job. A lot of people, you know, if you're lucky enough and you're blessed enough, you're going to find that perfect job. And that perfect job is going to just really just accentuate who you are and bring you out in the best way possible. And for me, that's what BattleBots does for me. We've had a team of writers over the last 4 seasons that have been just truly amazing, that really don't pigeonhole me to anything. They give me accents, they give me references, they give me quote, they give me whatever it is that they think I can do, and they just let me go with it. And it's one of the things where it's really like a perfect job because I get to go in there and be as wild, as crazy, as serious, as funny, as off the wall as I want to be. And I can't thank them enough. BattleBots on Discovery is a perfect thing.
It is. And for those of you who don't know BattleBots, you are like, I don't know where you're hiding, because in each episode, there's homemade robots, but they're not like homemade. Like these are like, these things could go and fight battle, of them. So they're homemade robots. They battle against each other in an elimination competition until one winner remains. But you have to see it if you haven't seen it, because it's intense. And these things, like, some of them are scary. I'm like, if they can make those, I'm scared of those people who know how to make those kind of robots.
Right, exactly. I mean, one of the things I always say, if you get an opportunity, see BattleBots live. See it live. It is an amazing thing. We did get approved for our 5th season on Discovery. Because of the whole COVID-19, we've been delayed in shooting. Hopefully later this summer, we'll get back up and running.
You will.
We'll get our live audience back up and running. But see it live, because like you said, a lot of these robots are scary. But one thing I want everybody to know, all these robots are considered heavyweights, right? They're all 250 pounds.
Yeah, they're impressive.
Right. So no matter if you see one that's, you know, the size of a keyboard or one that's the size of Shaq, you know, they're all, you know, 250 pounds, and they all do great, great damage. And people love it. I mean, the builders themselves, they don't even want to go home with a whole robot. They want to go home with their robots in pieces. It don't matter.
No, I could understand that, you know, because the reality of that is like these things, they put a lot of time into making them and a lot of money, I'm sure. You don't want, it's like your car. You don't want to destroy it, right? But, oh, man, we got to wrap this up. The illusion of time has fallen upon us. But before I let you go, what's next for you?
I want to say next, man, as soon as we get through this happy pandemic.
Yep.
I just look forward to the future. You know, I'm looking forward to a second season. Fingers crossed, prayers up for Roots Less Traveled. It's been well received. I just hope everybody else continues to tune in and watch that. I'm looking forward to getting back inside the battle box and saying it's robot fighting time. I'm just looking forward to the future, man. I just imagine that the future is bright, and it's going to be a happy one for a lot of us.
It is, you know, and I have a dear friend of ours here at Max and Friends, Gordana Biernat, the Super Soul 100 from Oprah Super Soulers. And she posted the other day, and it's so in line with what you're saying right now. And I posted it, and the only thing I need to find it, and I will let you know what it says, because to me it's so good because it's such the reality of where we are in seeing the future. Mm-hmm. And here it is. It is, when you start imagining how you want your life to unfold, you invite the possibilities into your reality and life.
100%.
And that's from her book, hashtag Know the Truth. So I trust that you and your family are all well. Is that true? And I should have asked you at the top of the show, but we got into food. So I forgot about everything else. So everyone in your tribe is doing well. Your crew is good.
Yeah, everybody in my tribe is doing well. It's me and my wife. My son actually lives in Maui. He's good. He was actually supposed to come out for his spring break visit to me 5 days after we landed from Italy. But we decided to just go ahead and be smart and be responsible and keep him in Maui. So I look forward to reconnecting with my son when this is all over as well.
Maui would be a good place to be part of this lockdown.
Not too shabby.
You know, I was in L.A. when this was going down. I was like, and I live between L.A. and Florida. I'm like, I'm going to Florida. Because in L.A., it was still cold and it was raining. I'm like, Florida's perfect temperature. I'm out of here.
Well, that's one of the things that did help us out. A lot of the rain. People, when it rains in L.A., people don't go out anyway. So
isn't that the truth? There didn't need to be a lockdown. Just let it rain. They should stimulate fake rain.
Right.
Let it rain in L.A. But I'm so glad you joined us here on Max and Friends. Now, what are you doing to keep yourself busy during this whole interesting period of time that we're in?
I'm definitely doing a lot of cooking. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of cooking, doing a lot of watching of the TV, and doing a lot of interviews, getting to talk to great people like you guys and getting ready to talk to, you know, a lot of interviews online and stuff. It's amazing how we've all just adapted to our mm-hmm. circumstances and really try to keep as much of this going as possible. So yeah, I've been busy doing a lot of interviews. I actually was looking at like an extended vacation, but I've been busier than I think I've ever been.
That's funny. But you know, there are you exercising a lot or you're just cooking a lot?
Yeah. I had a friend of mine started the 30-day challenges of like push-ups, abs and squats. And I've been doing those with my son. We go on a video chat and we do our workouts together with my son. So that's been another way for me to try to keep in shape. I need to get out, you know, and get a little walking around, get a little cardio going on, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, y'all be safe, stay healthy, stay happy. And you know, the whole together we're in this, it was funny because everyone's in this together alone thing, alone together, all these different hashtags. Mm. But the reality is just keep doing, just keep living, keep being, keep getting inspired. And if you think voiceover is something for you to do, try doing it. I'm starting to. Is there something that you've never done that you now have the time to do that you would want to do?
For me, I think it's probably writing. But I gotta be having to sound 100% honest. I'm a little fearful to jump down that writing track. So I'm going to go ahead and eliminate that, work on eliminating that fear and get into writing.
Yeah, that's all false evidence appearing real. Jackie Collins, great author. She's been on Max and Friends a bunch of times before she passed. And Jackie said, if you want to write and you want to write a book, write one page a day for a year and you'll have a novel.
Oh, okay.
There's one of the best tips from one of the best authors, most selling authors in the universe.
Indeed.
So I appreciate you. How can people find you? Where can they follow you on?
Indeed. Follow me on all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where I'm most active on Instagram, at Farouk Adelphia. I'm from Philadelphia, so the last half of Adelphia and Farouk, put that together, Farouk Adelphia, that's where you'll find me.
Perfect. All right, and before I let you go, you know, I've got to tell you something. I'm kind of going to give you a challenge now that I know you're a chef. I have your email, so I'm going to send you a menu from like maybe the like 1940s. And if you would create a dish, I would love to add it to the cookbook.
Let's do it. I'm down. Let's make it happen. I actually did, Discovery and Food Network. They're like brother and sister channel. I actually did a chop challenge for Food Network too on my Instagram. So check that out. But yeah, I accept the challenge. Send it over to me.
I will do that. I appreciate you so much. Stay safe, stay healthy. And when this is over, it's like, you know, the end of the tunnel, people think that there is like this light and there is this light and it's not a train and it is our future. So I will see you when we get out of this tunnel.
Indeed,
I'll be in LA and I'll see you then.
I really appreciate it. Don't forget, check out Roots Less Travel NBC every weekend.
And everyone just check your local listings, not only for Roots Less Travel, but we could also find you Discovery Channel still playing BattleBots, I think, right? Still
airing
it?
Yeah, there might be running some reruns and you can always find it on a Discovery Go app as well as on an NBC app as well. You can find episodes of Roots Less Travel if you're just getting tuned into that.
Perfect. And before I let you go, can you say your name and you're listening to Max and Friends? I mean, you're a voiceover expert, so I have to have it in my queue.
No problem.
Hit it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? It's your man, Farouk Tahid, and you're checking out Max and Friends.
I appreciate you.
You got it, man.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. I have a note here. What do you want people to take with them into this week with them?
What do I want people to take in with this week? Just positivity. Take the time. Sit down with your family. This is a great time to sit down with family, talk to family, learn all those family histories from some of your older aunts, uncles, grandparents. Sit down with them. Have the conversations. It's really important during this time.
It is important. I appreciate you for being on Max and Friends. Have a good night.
My man, appreciate you.
You know, speaking of, it was like the Italian goodbye. They were talking about generational thing. I couldn't say goodbye. Got to have you keep it saying here. But until we speak again, have a beautiful night and take life to the max, my friend.
You too. Peace. Good night.
Hey, Dina, can you do me a favor? Do we have in our archive, in our library, the song Most Beautiful Light from Ash Ruiz? And can you let me know if we can play it? Because we've got like a couple more minutes to chat here. And I just wanted to let y'all know, I think that was so much fun. The show Roots Less Traveled. To me, anything that has to do with ancestry and finding out your past and your family and your ancestors is such an important thing. And I think it's true, like during these times right now that we're in, do the research, find out who you are, find out where you came from, find out where you're going possibly. Just because when you find out, like for instance, when I found out that I had this whole family in Italy, that blew my mind. And I was like, oh, I'm spending so many more summers now in Italy to go hang out with my family there. So Roots Less Traveled on NBC is definitely a show you want to check out and catch. Dina, are you here? Did you leave me? Well, oh no, you're still here. Hey Dina, do we have Ash Ruiz song, Max and Friends? Max and Friends, Most Beautiful Light. You didn't find it? Okay, I don't know where it is, but I guess it's in somewhere there. Do we want to play a song? No, you know what? We've got, what, 5 more minutes? Let me just chat with you all for 5 more minutes. Is that cool? All right, so I posted another thing, and my buddy Barbara Taylor Bradford, fabulous author, buy her books. Speaking of books, just buy books, please, people. It's time to buy books and read. You know, a lot of authors were supposed to go on tour. They can't go on tour. And Step Up is a great book. You know, we had Ash Beckham here last weekend. So you definitely want to get the book Step Up, because it's all about leadership and finding courage and how to really step up and be a leader. And now's the time, you know, now's the time to really be able to do that. But I posted on my Instagram. And what did I post? It was really a fun statement because it's all about being happy. And it says, if you have the power to make someone happy, do it. The world needs more of that. And then Barbara Taylor Bradford, she played that, she reposted that. And I just heard the song in my ear. So can we play right now, Most Beautiful Light? And I'll be right back on Max and Friends. Can we do that?
So we can get it up.
I just love that song, Ashru Is Most Beautiful Light. Thank you, Ash, for that song. And thank you for playing it here tonight on Max and Friends, Dean. I'm glad we found it, because that's what I want people to take with them into this week, knowing that you all are the most beautiful light. I see you. I hear you. You matter. Reach out to me. Tweet me at Max Tucci. Instagram me at Max Tucci. DM me. If you feel like you're going through shit and hell right now, I promise you there's a wonderful saying that says, if you're going through hell, don't stop. And I know a lot of you are going through hell right now. And know that there are so many people rooting for you. And I think the whole world is just rooting for each other to get the hell up out of this mess, right? So with that said, I don't know why I keep saying with that said. I'm going to eliminate that. But I love you for tuning into Max and Friends. In May will be 12 weeks that we are 12 weeks. Honey, I am getting sleepy. It will be 12 years that we are here. Tomorrow on LA Talk Radio video, make sure you tune into The Polished Woman at 1 p.m. Pacific time. You know, I produced that show with Jessica Bunavage, and that is so much fun. And Jess and I have some exciting news to tell you about The Polished Woman, but we're going to let that break in time, just not so yet. And other than that, we got to wrap this up, right, Dina? Well, thank you, Dina, for being all the way in LA and doing this for me. I'm so thankful and grateful to you that we have this little place called LA Talk Radio that is heard all over the world, and that there's so many shows here and that people are staying dedicated to their shows. And, you know, there's one person out there that just might need to hear this show. And if you're that person, I love you for tuning in to Max and Friends. And until next time, remember to take life to the max. I'm your host, Max Tucci. You can find me here every Sunday on LA Talk Radio. And if you want to find me everywhere else where you listen to your podcast, find me there, because we put the best of shows. I love you. Good night and good karma. Oh, and take into this week love and happiness. And let's shift the vibration. Let's send out more love. Let's send out more happiness and just raise that vibration. Okay? I love you for tuning in. I'm your host, Max Tucci, for Max and Friends. Good night and good karma.
Friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back.